This is an oral history interview with Miss Lucille Dutton, and today's date is 20th, 1995. Miss Dutton, we're talking about life through the Great Depression and from the years 1920 into like 1930s. Let's first talk about where you were born, where you grew up.
I was born in what is now Pineview Community in Seminole County, which at that time was Decatur County. Later, some of the families wanted to form another county because of it being so far to drive to Bainbridge to county business. My mother tells me it was one of the coldest days ever that I was born on land that my grandfather, I don't know how long he owned it for, but my aunt still, who is 96 years old, still owns it. I was born in a log house, but I can remember real well that at that, as far back as I can remember, we had telephones. I was born in
1916. Was that February?
February 4th, 1916.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you went to, where did you go to school?
Oh, as far as I can remember, we had Pineview School. I'm not sure just the year that it was built, but I can remember when they added a room to it. When I was growing up. Now my mother and my aunts and uncles, and they went to school at first over at Kingston School, over on what is now 84. They walked across, must have been at least 2 miles.
Is that near Jakin?
No, it's about 2.5 miles east of Donaldson, west of Donaldson. Yeah. But then later, my mother drove the school wagon, which was a two-seated, four-seated, I guess you'd say, Sherry.
Or Surrey?
Surrey, that's right. And she and my aunt and uncle can tell some really tales of times when it was real cold, it would rain. One time the horse ran away when they were going to school.
Now, your parents were sharecroppers, is that right?
Yes. My parents, let me tell you first how they met. Mr. Cummings down at Leela had a lumber mill. At that time, the whole area was thickly pine timber. And he put in a lumber mill down there, and he had tram roads that would go and bring the logs in. And because my father had some cousins that lived near my mother, where my mother lived, he met my mother, and he used to ride the tram road, tramming to go up and courting my mother.
Well, whenever you were in high school, you went to, that was in Pineview, right?
No, I went to Pineview School. Later, now the Great Depression, first Florida had a boom in the late 20s. Mm-hmm. No, the middle 20s, in the 20s, I'd say. And my father and some cousins decided to go down and get a job. Left my mother and with her, they were about six of the children here while he went down there. Well, then the boom was over. He lost his job, And so he came back. And at that time, we moved down to what is now, to Leela, where this, my mother was a Harold. He is Spooner's, to where the Spooner's live. And, it was there that I finished grammar school at Leela. where the lumber town had been.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it had gone down then. Then when I finished high school in 28, and 29. Anyway, I finished grammar school. And I have lots of wonderful memories of going to school at Leela, and things we did. We were in the, it was a two-teacher school.
Huh.
But one of the things they used to let us go violet hunting.
Violet hunting in the spring.
I remember going violet hunting. The teachers would let us go, you know. They went well.
Just break out of class and go look
and
for violets.
They would give us time off. And this something that is vivid in my memory is the old, there would be like a, out in the woods, there would be like a bank of dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And they called it Indian graves. And when we come to an Indian grave, that was exciting. But I finished grammar school.
And were those really Indian graves?
Yes, they tell me they are, and they still open them up now, you know, and find things.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard a lot about that. But you see, all of the land has been cleared, so much of it now.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there still are places, you know, that have them. But I can remember that was one of the exciting things if you came to an Indian grave. And you, but I finished grammar school in 29, and I had never, we walked to school, about 2 miles. But children who walked slower came by our house, and we all gathered together and walked on to school. And then when we came back in the afternoon, our house was kind of a gathering place. People loved to go to our house. And my mom and daddy loved them to come, you know. They stopped, and mama used to always bake tea cakes.
Mm-hmm.
And so often she'd have some tea cakes. Everybody pumped the water and got some cool water. See, we didn't have ice then. The only way you had ice was when the ice truck came through about once a week.
Well, how often did y'all go to town to get food and goods?
Oh, well, usually about once a week.
Once a week.
But later, you know, as cars came. But usually we went to town about once a week.
When did y'all get your first car?
I can't even remember when my father's first car. It would have been in the early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, when the Depression came, not many people had cars. But the thing of it was, we all had farming people. Had their gardens, they raised their corn, made their own cornmeal. They had the cane patch, made their own syrup. And that was another highlight in the fall was when they'd let you get your fresh stock. And chew
your cane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we had, we raised our gardens, we raised our chickens, we milked our cows, we had our milk and butter. Our vegetables, we killed hogs, had hams and middlings, you know, all that good stuff.
What are middlings?
Middlings is the side of the meat. That's where you get your bacon.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And sausage and all that. And what we did back then, you see, we didn't have electricity. We didn't have electric refrigerators. And so we had to can our food to keep them. We didn't have freezers. But we canned everything. Vegetables. Even our meats, when we had a hog killing, that was a day for everybody when they had the hog killing and had sausage, made your sausage and fixed your hams, your shoulders and all that. You know, they would salt the meat down, rub it thorough with salt. You had to have a real cold time to kill hogs. And then everybody had a smokehouse where they hung their meat in to smoke it. They first salted it down. Then, when it got right, they hung it in the smokehouse and had a slow smoke and smoked it. And if you want some good ham, you went out and cut out one of those hams and cooked that ham and gravy. But we also made our syrup. We had our potatoes. We grew our ash potatoes, saved them. And like I said, another big thing was when you shelled your corn, picked out your best ears of corn and shelled it and went to the mill and had your own mill.
And you were telling me about one mill was a lot better than the other.
Oh, the water ground mill. You went up to Howard's mill, you got your best mill.
Howard's mill. Was that on the river?
On the Kirkland's Creek.
Kirkland's
that
Creek.
Was the best mill. Now, we had a mill out at Leela that you could get, and it was good. But if you went to Howard's mill, you got your better mill.
Mm-hmm. Well, your school moved, or it closed down, is that right?
Yes. They started consolidating schools in the late 20s. But now, Pineview School, where we live now, I grew up. Mostly.
You moved from Leela back to Pineview?
Yes,
Okay.
But at Pineview School, let me tell a little bit more about that. That building was not only used for school, it was used for literary societies and box suppers, and it was used even for church, Sunday school, things like that. And we had in the late 20s, in the 20s, we had fairs there. It was a fair just like these. I don't reckon we had rides, but you know, the display of your farm products, your canned goods, your cakes and pies, and you know, just everything.
Uh-huh.
And and your sewing, your crocheting, your needlework, dresses you'd made. It was really nice. And everybody enjoyed it. No, they had the stands where you could go and eat. You know, they cooked hot dogs, hamburgers, you know, all the things you used to have. And that was a lot of fun. Oh, and you could, they had trinkets you could buy.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a fun thing. And that was the times that I remember then, they'd have horse races. And the young men on the high-stepping horses, that I can remember, I think it was the Fort Boys and Cars and Thunderbird, that would have those beautiful horses, high-stepping and race. And they also had the race cars, and they would have those. And oh, it was a fun thing. And the literary societies, I can remember when we'd go to them and they'd have the debates, you know. I was a little girl and I couldn't be a part of it then, but I can remember it was very much of a fun thing.
So it seems like Pineview was a really established community.
It was, and it still is. Now the church, first church that was there was Harrell Grove, a Primitive Baptist church, which was later moved to town.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of the people though that lived in Pineview community still go out of, you know, like to Jake into church, or to Donaldsonville to church. And now in the 20s, late 20s and early 30s, they used to have a bush hour meetings over close to what is now Oakview Church. That was the beginning of Oakview Church, Assembly of God
what,
Church.
What was it called? What sort of meeting?
Bush hour. They would build a bush hour, cut trees, and cover it with a put the post up,
uh-huh.
and then cover it over with the brush,
uh-huh.
and then they built their benches out, and they had...
Was it something just for decoration?
No, it was something that was where their pulpit, it was not
decoration. Oh, I see. It was
their pulpit,
So it's like an outside church?
An outside church. And this was the beginning of what they call the Holiness or Assembly of God churches. Mm-hmm. And my grandparents, I used to go there to visit them, and they would let us go to that church.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me about the box suppers that y'all had you.
It was a part of something like a literary society or something. They would always have a program, you know, of some kind. And then the women would carry their box sticks. They would have a box covered over with, usually with crepe paper and ruffles and bows, have it pretty. But inside was a lot of good food. And the men then bought the boxes, but they didn't usually know unless they got tipped off whose box they were buying. But they usually would be tipped off and know whose box they wanted to buy. And they would bid on the boxes.
Well, someone bought your box upper one time.
Yes, Leroy and I had met. The first time we just met. I was with some people and he was with some more. And we met in the road and visited a little while, and then I didn't see anything more of him until later. I was visiting some of his neighbors, and we got better acquainted. But then this was when I lived at Leland, that he and some friends went down. We were having a box supper, and down at Leela's school, and he went down and told his friends that he wanted to go down, and they went. I wasn't expecting, but they came to my house and then went on down to the school with us. And when they were auctioning off the boxes, he learned which was my box. And it was in the crashing years, you know, and you didn't pay a whole lot. Nobody had much money. And
tell how much the average box would go for.
About one height. And that's about what he paid for mine. But when he went up to pay for it, he had a $20 bill, and oh, did I get kidded. You know me, if they had known that he had that money, he would have paid that for my box. They had a lot of fun off of it. But he and I then, the next January after that was when we moved back to, actually it's where Virginia Harvey lives now, down on the river. And must have been not too many, weeks after that. He called, told this friend that he said, let's go down to see Lucille. Everybody didn't have telephones. And we didn't happen to have a telephone down there then. So they came down to see me. And that's when we started there.
Well, how long after the box supper did y'all get married?
Oh, it must have been about at least 3 years. 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm. And where did y'all get married?
Well, my father wanted us to have a home wedding, but I was so shy I didn't want to. And we went to the preacher's house. The Methodist preacher.
Mm-hmm.
We were both Baptists at that time. Later we joined the Methodist church. But at the very same night we were getting married, our pastor was getting married. So we went to the Methodist, and my sister and her current boyfriend went with us.
Well, let's talk more about the Great Depression in general. I mean, what are the things that you've really noticed that cued you in that the Depression had hit?
Well, nobody had money. Now, like I said, everybody grew their own food. And I'll tell you this, I remember just a few years ago, or maybe it's been several years ago, the discussion was on the Depression. And I said, oh, yes, I remember the Depression and how hard it was. Nobody had any money. And another person said to me, hush, you don't know anything about the Depression. You lived on the farm and you had plenty of food to eat. You didn't know what you were hungry for. Said it was poor people in town that suffered.
Mm-hmm. Did you know any of those people?
Oh, nobody had. Yes, I knew a lot of people. And you see, there were no jobs. The only people that had money, and they didn't spend it much because everybody was, it was hard on everybody. Mm-hmm. But they just didn't have anything until, and when Roosevelt went into office and came with the New Deal, and created jobs so that people could get work to do. Oh, it was a wonderful thing.
Did you and your husband or your family take advantage of any of those jobs?
Well, we were farmers.
You were farmers?
Yeah, we were farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And now they did, they came out, one thing that helped farmers was when the program where they could borrow money and repay it,
mm-hmm.
or help the farmers. And it really meant a lot. And then as things got better and jobs were created, and it really helped everybody. Things began to, I would hate to see another depression equal to that one. I don't believe the young people could do it through it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that.
You were telling me earlier that fabric was so expensive in the stores, or y'all couldn't afford it, that y'all made clothes out of...
Well, nobody had money.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one of the things, as we got to where we had... back in the real hard times, we didn't have feed sacks. But it got to where that there was a program that you could have chickens, get money to buy chickens, and then you could buy your feed, your prepared chicken feed,
mm-hmm.
and it had the prints. And yes, you had, and you may, and people could have, it was a feed sack dress, but it was pretty. But everybody had them. And another thing I remember, one thing that meant so much to me was when, it must have been about 31 or 2 when we had our first extension agent and 4-H club. And one thing that stands out with me, there were the Mormons Club in Donaldsonville gave a trip to the most outstanding 4-H in Seminole County, and I won it, and I went to Camp Eagle, Camp Wiggins in Year Athens, and that was a great trip. That day, the day we came back through Atlanta, looked up on top of Stone Mountain, went up in the Capitol building and all of it. I think that night I was the tiredest I've ever going to be. But it was such an experience for a poor little country girl. But there were four of us that went on that trip. And we were there a week.
How long did it take you to get to Atlanta by car?
Oh, I don't know.
I imagine it was a long ride.
Early in the morning, we got there late, you know, I'm sure. But this was one of the things that meant a lot to, and it has continued. It meant a lot to me. 4-H meant a lot to me, and it's meant a lot to my family. And the ones who went on it. But that was one of the beginnings. Then another thing that not only did we have the 4-H clubs, but the home demonstration clubs, where the women went, they learned how to can and sew and different, of course, a lot of them knew how to sew, but they learned a lot of crafts and they met once a month, I believe.
And they would come to Pineview, the county agent would come to Pineview?
Uh-huh. And then they would maybe meet in each other's homes, or if they didn't meet in at the schoolhouse. Now that schoolhouse was used, I believe I said while ago, it was used like for community gatherings, mm-hmm. and even we had church and Sunday school later, and at different times. But it was a. But when the school was consolidated in 34, it was torn down. The people who owned it, when it was built on their land, it was determined that if it ever could be used for a school, it would go back to them, mm-hmm. and they tore it down.
Now, what year did you graduate from high school?
1933. My things were just beginning to get a little better.
Mm-hmm. And what year was it that you got married?
In 35.
I remember we were talking about the cattle vats.
Oh yes, at my grandpa's house, the old log house where my mother was born is still, it's rotted down, but mm-hmm. it's still there. And the cousin that owns it, my grandfather sold it before he died to one of his nephews. Uh-huh. And I think they had ticks on the cows. But when I was a little girl, I remember they had a dip vat there. And everybody would bring the cows there and run them through that dip vat.
Mm-hmm.
And that was quite a thing.
Did y'all had cows? You and
oh, yeah.
Leroy had cows?
Mm-hmm.
You were telling me about, there were several bridges in,
Oh, there's two bridges that cross it, Chattahoochee River. I remember real well when the one down at what is called Neal's Landing, the first bridge that was built there, before then they had a ferry. Mm-hmm. Another thing, they used to bring the cotton from Northwest, the tobacco from Northwest Florida over to Bainbridge, I believe, was where they had the markets, or it may have been quick. But over there, and they came across that river there. At one time, they had to come on the ferry. Well, then they put in what was called the Swinging Bridge. I remember the day that it was on, and it was quite a name, you know, the Swinging Bridge. I believe they said it was built like Brooklyn Bridge, but it was built there. And then later years, the bridge up farther north on the river, close to Jenkins.
Would that be Kirkland's?
No, now that's not Kirkland's Creek. The Chattahoochee River is where it crosses. I don't know, can't remember the name of that bridge, can you?
It's the one that goes
to Harmon Township.
The bridge that goes over the Chattahoochee?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure the name of it.
I'm not either. And, but both of those, that was really quite a big day when those were opened. They had the bridge opening and a big celebration, you know. And then later, the swinging bridge, you know, was torn down. And I believe that's when the Herman Talmadge Bridge was prepared. Oh, the one on up north is the Allegheny Bridge.
I'm sorry?
Allegheny Bridge.
Allegheny?
The one near Jakin is the Allegheny Bridge.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The members of Pineview community, you said, would all go picnicking at Kirkland's Creek?
At Kirkland's Creek. Oh, that was one of the highlights in the summer, was to go to Kirkland's Creek for a picnic and go down and go in swimming.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite a day, and we did that all along. And another place we went was Carr Springs, and as far back as I can remember, and I have some real fond memories.
Swimming in the cars?
Uh-huh, going to the springs, Carr Springs, and there was an eddy that jutted over there from then back. You went in those springs, that was cold as what followed you in near the springs. But, and I remember one afternoon that somehow my foot slipped off a rock and I almost drowned. And Hall Thunderbird saved me. And he, all of his life, he spent many years, he always, you know, teased me about that. It wasn't teasing, but we'd have a lot of fun talking about the afternoon that he saved me.
Well, tell me what your swimsuit looked like.
Oh, you didn't really have swimsuits then. I don't remember. And the swimsuits had a skirt. They were, not everybody had swimsuits, but if you had one, it was built up high. It didn't have sleeves, but it had a skirt over it.
Mm-hmm. A long skirt, or did it come to your knees?
It didn't, to your knees, mm-hmm. like that. It wasn't that bad that they were down by ankles. But I can remember that at Carr Springs. Well, both places, Kirkland Creek too, but at Carr Springs seemed like it stands out more. When they didn't have, now later on they had places built to, you know, where you could put your, like a little stove light to cook on.
Mm-hmm.
But when they got down and just had it on brick, and they would fry it, we'd go and fish that morning, and have fish fry, cook the fish, and I can just see the women stooping, frying, and the men happening. Cooking those fish.
Well, that was in about what year? That, like, early 30s that y'all would all go down there and do?
No, now that was in the, yeah, the early 30s, no, 20s and 30s. That I can remember. See, I was born in 1960, so I can remember the 20s. As far back as I can remember. And one of the most beautiful memories I have. I must have been maybe about 10 long in there. And Mamie Carr and Miss Brigham. Addie Brigham, but she was Addie Parker. They were teenage girls, and they were a little older than me, you know, and they were riding some of those beautiful horses. And then, of course, all the girls had long hair, and their hair was glowing in the breeze. That's a beautiful memory. And I've told them both about it many times.
Mm-hmm. Now, how old were you whenever you first had Tom, your oldest son?
About 22.
22. And tell me about that.
Oh, years before, I was one of the first ones that when you went We had the hospital, but Dr. Smith, the doctor I was using, there wasn't taking patients to the hospital, but he had a little clinic like at his office, and one of my best friends was his nurse. And we would...
Was that Miss Una?
Yeah, Una Gibson. She is now Una Spooner Gibson. And when I learned that there was something wrong, we went to the there and went up there about 10 o'clock and Tom was born about 2. But his office was equipped just like the hospital.
That was in downtown Dawson?
Mm-hmm. And later on, he started caring his patients. Well, later on, Tom wasn't very old when he got sick. He had a heart attack. I thought, whoo.
Tom, your son?
No, my son's doctor.
Oh.
Dr. Smith. And I just, I thought I had to have Dr. Smith. My baby had to have it. But after Dr. Smith had to quit practicing, we started using oxygen and our doctor back. So. Mm-hmm. And then the hospital opened up. You know, they started other doctors. And we went to these doctors started carrying patients to the hospital, and we started putting them. And our other children were born.
The hospital, before it became a hospital, it was a
Nazarene College.
That was in the early teens, or what was that?
Yes, I have forgotten just what year it was built, but I believe it became a hospital in 1920. This one became a hospital. Dr. Chasen, Dr. Gordon, no, Dr. Tom Chasen opened it up. They bought it from the Shameless and opened up a hospital.
Mm-hmm. And is it this the same hospital?
Same hospital as there now. It has been it has meant a lot to the sacred. Mm-hmm. It has been gradually been improved through the years, and and that's where the rest of my children were born.
In the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you were a housewife on the farm, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We were farmers throughout. My husband. The first canning plant we had in Donaldsonville, and it was in 1935. And I was a member, I had been a 4-H Club member and a home demonstration member was at that time. And our home demonstration agent, we called them then, when we opened up the canning plant, she asked me if I would be supervisor. And I was, and I enjoyed it. I believe I was there 2 or 3 years.
2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. The people would bring in their whatever they had to can. If it was like they had killed a beef, a pork, and wanted to can it, or if they had corn or vegetables, they'd bring them in there. And now you could can there with the jars. But usually we had the cans and we could see them. They had a big can. Texas had a drought and the cows were just dying out there, and they moved them here in herds, you know, by train loads.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my father had a lot of them he had these big pastures down on the river, but they brought those cows here, and I understand that's the way the screwworms ever were brought in this area. And I tell you, it was something bad.
And what year was that when they came in?
I would say in the early 30s.
Well, that just really added to the problems everyone was having already.
Oh, yes, and you really, Oh, they even had men who that was one of the early jobs that, you know, Mr. Roosevelt created. Those men were hired to help fight those screwworms. And they would have to catch those cows and tie them down and dig them out and then paint it, you know, to heal the wound. Mm-hmm. And, children, you had to be real particular if, with children, if they had a sore, that it was covered, because humans could get those things too. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing of people getting them, but I don't remember anybody that got them. But it was an awful thing, but they really fought them. And I don't know, by the 40s, maybe they had done that. But it was an awful thing. You can imagine your dog or your cow or hog. Mm-hmm. And with a lot of them in the pastures.
You know, and they just got that from open cuts?
Open cuts and a fly lighting on it. Mm-hmm. See, then it would, and it was awful. Have you ever seen maggots, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, it was similar to that, except they were larger. Mm-hmm. It was a terrible thing.
When did y'all get your first veterinarian in Donaldsonville?
You know, as far back as I don't know who the first. Yes, I do. Dr. Derbyshire was one of the first veterinarians.
What was the name again?
Derbyshire, D-A-R-B-Y-S-H-I-R, yeah. But I remember, yes, he was one of the first ones. But like I said, it's back, you know, mm-hmm. back as far as I can remember, we had veterinarians.
Did y'all ever have to call on one?
Oh, yes.
Y'all did? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, you had to. And then Dr. Davis, I'm thinking, he way back, you know, mm-hmm. as I was growing up, but he and his wife both died. She died first in the end. Hmm. He died. Mm-hmm. I can remember his daughter died real young. But I mean, she had moved away. But his son moved away from here. I don't know what kind of job his child was. Mm-hmm. But they were veterinarians. Mm-hmm. Yes, and another thing that we had back then was cholera and hogs. Mm. And, oh, you really had to fight it and vaccinate your hogs and all of that. But I think that's been pretty well wiped out.
Y'all were pretty big hog farmers.
My husband grew a lot of hogs. Down the old, now we owned the land that the old Pineview School was on. And my husband put in a hog house down there, and he grew some of the most beautiful hogs. And the old pump that used to be the, you know, for the schoolhouse, it would not serve. He had to put in a larger pump. And another thing that stands out in my memory was one night, Leroy and I were shelling peas at the house, and there was a terrible clap of thunder, and it got our TV. And we thought it got us, I think, and everything went dark. But that very night, it got our hog. See, we had a pump down at the hog mm-hmm. house on a different line, but it also struck down there and got there. And we had not been long built that, and he had not added it to his insurance. You know, on the house, I mean the farm, your farm insurance, the hog house, and it was not covered. So it cost, and at that time, $500 was a lot of money. It cost us $500 to get that pump fixed. Mm-hmm. But Right after then, of course, he added it to the farm insurance. And the next time we had it hit back down there too, and it was added, the insurance paid for. Things like that through the years when you've grown up and having a family means a lot. That's another thing I did not tell about. We bought the land that we live on now in 48. Our other four children, we had, you know, Tom, Mary, Carol, and Bob. He was about 2 years old. And Rose was born after we moved to the old house, we call it. It was a house that the Richardson, the old Grandpa Richardson lived in when that area was settled.
First settled?
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the first settlers?
First settlers, mm-hmm. And we lived in the old house. And we wanted to remodel it, and it would have been so pretty remodeled, but it would have cost a lot of money. So the best thing to do was tear it down and rebuild. So we tore it down and rebuilt with a brick house.
Well, tell me the some of the names of the families that were in Pineview. You know, the Harolds?
The Harolds. Now, the Sullivans. My mother's mother was Sullivan. And they were some of the early settlers. And then my mother's father was Harold. And they moved over from the other side of Bainbridge, over here. And my grandfather's mother and father had both died. And he was, his half-brother Bill, you know, reared him. Mm-hmm. I think he was maybe about 14. And so they moved over.
Your physical therapist is here, and I know we need to stop, but Ms. Dutton, I thank you for your time and for you sharing some of the memories with me. It's been a pleasure.
Mm-hmm.